turn in the Heidelberg Catechism this morning to consider Lord's Day 15. Lord's Day 15 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 15 asks for us the question, first of all, question 37, and you'll notice Lord's Day 15 on the top of the outline, Satsagalam, asks, what dost thou understand by the words he suffered? And then the second question, why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? And the third question, is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? And let's read especially the first question and answer, Tanong 37. Ano ba ang pagkaunawa mo sa mga salitang sila'y nagdusa? Na siya, sa lahat ng panahon na siya ay namuhay sa lupa, subalit lalo na sa dakong huli ng kanyang buhay, ay binata sa kanyang katawan at kaluluwa ang poot ng Diyos laban sa mga kasalanan ng lahat ng mga hinirang ng sangkatauhan. Upang sa kanyang paghihirap, ilang tanging pantubos na alay, matubos niya ang ating katawan at kaluluwa sa walang hanggang hatol na kamatayan at makamit para sa atin ang taban kagandahang loob ng Diyos, katuwiran at walang hanggan buhay. Bakit ba siya nagdusa sa ilalim ni Poncio Pilato na tagahatol? Upang siya na walang kasalanan, datupuat hinatulan ng pansamantalang tagahatol ay mapalaya tayo sa matinding hatol ng Diyos na sa atin ay nahahantad. Mayroon pa bang ibang bagay sa kanyang pagkakapako sa krus kaysa kung sa halip ay namatay siya sa ibang paraan? Oo, mayroon. Sabagat doon, ako'y nakakitiyak na inakol niya ang sumpa na dapat ay para sa akin dahil ang kamatayan sa krus ay sinumpa ng Diyos. The earthly life, beloved, of our Lord Jesus Christ can be summarized in a few words. Daunting salita. And we have that in the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed, we confess this concerning the whole earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say this. Shai isinilang, shai nahirap, shai namatay. That's it. That shows us that as far as the earthly life itself of the Lord Jesus Christ, between his birth and his death, there is just one thing. Isang bagay. One thing, he suffered. Shai nahirap. That's it. He suffered. And you could say that that is the biography of the life of Jesus Christ while he was on earth. A very true word concerning his earthly life. Isang wastong wastong buo. There's nothing to change. There's nothing to add. If anyone ever asked you what was the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ like, we have that answer. Shai Nahira. That was it. Now you and I know a little bit of what suffering is like from what we see and from what we experience. We see suffering all around us. Suffering as a result of war. Suffering as a result of crime. As a result of natural disasters and catastrophes. You visit a hospital, you see a lot of suffering there. People in pain, sakit, people dying, people crying out from pain and from the suffering that they are experiencing and weeping. Yuck. And we also experience it. We all know from life what suffering is. We all have experienced pain and grief and sorrow. And yet, our knowledge of what suffering is, based on what we see and on what we experience, is very dim, very small, very limited. We only have a very limited understanding of what Christ's suffering was like. If I were to ask you, how well do you understand the suffering that was experienced by Jesus Christ? You would have to say, Kauntilang. Or even, voila, I don't know. Hindi ko alam. His suffering was much more bitter than any suffering that we have ever experienced. It was intense. It was constant. It was much worse than any person has ever suffered or any person ever will suffer in this earthly life. We could say that the Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest sufferer that there ever was on this earth. If we have any doubts about that, and if we ever think that our own suffering or the suffering of someone else that we know and love is worse than was the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have to read the Bible. Read Matthew chapters 26 and 27. Read Luke chapter 23 and Luke chapter 24. And read Isaiah 53, which we read earlier. The Bible makes very clear, no man has ever suffered as the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. That's what we will consider together this morning. That truth of God's Word, as that is set forth in Lord's Day 15 of the Heidelberg Catechism, consider it together under the theme, Our Savior's Severe Suffering, ang matinding paghirap ng ating tagapagligtas. Notice three things. Tatlong bagay. What it consisted of, what made it severe, and what his suffering accomplished. First of all, this, Una Salahat, Jesus Christ's suffering was characterized by the fact that it was lifelong. As the Heidelberg Catechism says, Salahat ng panahon na siya ay namuhay sa lupa. The whole time that he lived on this earth, he suffered. He suffered by coming from heaven, sa langit. He suffered by coming from the perfection of heaven and living in a world that was under the curse of sin and death. He suffered by coming from the perfection of heaven and living in a world in which he was surrounded by sinners, surrounded by ungodly men and women and children who in their very natures hated the Son of God whenever he was in their presence. And instead, therefore, of hearing the praises that he received in heaven, the praises he received from the saints already there, the praises he received from the angels, he hears the cursing and the blasphemy of wicked men, and men boasting of sin, all in the ears of the Son of God, who was God Himself. Hirap siya sa pamamagitan ng pagdanas ng karaligtaan. That as well. At birth, think of the way in which the Son of God was born into this world as we considered that last time in Lord's Day 14. He was born in the filth and in the stench of a cattle shed, a shameful and a very ignoble birth. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in a hospital. He wasn't even born in a house. He was born in a cattle shed among a cattle. He was also, during his earthly life, homeless. Remember that there was a man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, I will follow you. I'll be with you wherever you go." What did Jesus Christ say to him? In Matthew 8, verse 20, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head." He had no place that he could call his own. He was more homeless than the wild animals on this earth. And so his suffering was lifelong. Ang bawat araw ng kanyang buhay. Every day of his life, every moment from his lowly birth to his terrible death of the cross, he suffered. His life was a valley of tears. He was, as Isaiah 53 said, a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows. He could never enjoy earthly life. He could never be happy. He could never laugh. He could never smile. Because always he was suffering during his earthly life. Then secondly, we can say this: he suffered because he was a rejected person. Si Kristo ay naghirap dahil siya kinamuhihan at itinakwil ng mga tao. He was hated. He was despised. He was opposed at every turn in his earthly life. And Isaiah prophetically speaks of that in Isaiah 53 verse 3. She hinamak at tinakwil ng mga tao. Isang taong nagdurusa at sanay sa kalungkutan. Akaya ng isa na tinakublihan ng buka ng mga tao. She hinamak at hindi natin siya pinahalagaan. And that began right away in Christ's earthly life. Immediately after the Lord Jesus Christ was born, he was persecuted. Persecuted already as a child, persecuted already as a Malietnabata, persecuted by King Herod. The Lord Jesus Christ was born. King Herod hears about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, "This man has to be on my wanted list. This man is the person that needs to be killed. We need to get rid of this child. He's just a baby. Ansangol. At maliet bata." And yet Herod says, "Kill him. Get rid of him." So he ordered that all the babies in Jerusalem had to be killed that were 2 years and younger, in the hopes that the Lord Jesus Christ would also be killed. And the result? Christ had to flee from his persecutors into the land of Egypt already as a baby, a young child. And then he was rejected by the Jewish leaders. Shai itinakuel nam manga pinuno nang iglesia. Jewish leaders, as you know, the scribes, the Pharisees, they were very jealous of the Lord Jesus Christ because of his popularity. They despised him. They were filled with bitter hatred against him. They constantly mocked and ridiculed. And then throughout his earthly life, what did they try to do? They tried to trap and then also discredit the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they accused him of terrible sins. They came to Christ and they said to him, "You are leading God's people away from the laws of Moses." And they even came to him with this accusation, "You are doing work for the devil." Imagine that, accusing the Son of God of working for un diablo, Satanas. And many times during his earthly life they tried to kill him. They were ready to stone him. He had to flee. And he barely escaped at times from those who were trying to put him to death. It wasn't his time yet. Therefore he could not be killed yet. But all his life he was hated and rejected by Ang Manga Pinuno Nang Iglesia. They were the ones, after all, that at the end of his earthly life met and made decisions and decided this man was guilty of blasphemy. They brought false accusations against him and they said he must be condemned. And they excommunicated the Son of God out of the church and they crucified him. They put him to death. That's what he experienced at the hands of the leaders of the church of his day. But he was also rejected by the Jewish people. Itinakuel, sha nang manga kasapi nang iglesia. At first they flocked after him to be healed, to hear his preaching, to hear his teaching. They turned on him. And what did they say about the Son of God? "He is a blasphemer. He makes himself God." Even though it was very obvious that he was God. He was. All they had to do was listen to his preaching and they could tell he was God. All they had to do was to see the power he had to do miracles, to cast out devils even. And it was clear that he was God. But they said he's guilty of blasphemy because he says, "I am the Son of God." And they were, the Jewish people, the members of the church, were the ones who, at his trial, cried out, "Release Barabbas and crucify the Son of God." Epako sha sakros, again and again they cry out. And then on the cross they continued to mock and to stare and to point at him as a total failure. That was what he experienced at the hands of Ang Manga Kasapi Nang Iglesia. And then he was also rejected by his friends. Ang Manga Kaibigan. Yeah. His close friends, mga alagad. They had been his companions. They were always at his side. But what did they do when the Lord Jesus Christ was captured? What do we read in Mark 14, verse 50? They all forsook him and fled. That's what his own disciples did. In his moment, you could say, of greatest need, when he was captured, when he needed a friend at his side to help him with the suffering that he must face and endure, He had no sympathy. Now God purposed it to be that way. It had to be that way because the Son of God must suffer all alone for the sins of his people. But nevertheless, there was no one there to share his burden, no one there to give him comfort in his suffering. What an awful life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? A life in which you are hated and rejected by so many people. Terrible and severe suffering for the Son of God in our flesh. And then, of course, there was on cruz. Si Christoi nagirapta hilshai namatai sa cruz. First of all, because of the physical pain of dying on the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ was brought to be crucified. He had just undergone cruel treatment. Prior to being crucified, they had chained him. They had dragged him around through the night. They had plaited a crown of thorns and pressed that into his head. They had slapped him in the face. They had whipped him on his back, so they called. And then they take him with his open sores, his bleeding back, and they put him on the cross, and bare back against the rough wood of the cross, and nails pounded through his hands and through his feet, and dropped that cross into a hole in the ground so that he might die that awful, awful death on the cross. And the death on the cross, you must understand, was a very, very painful way of dying. A person was hanging. A person was suspended by just a few nails through his hands and through his feet. And in that position, a person had so much pressure placed on his upper body because he was suspended by his hands that it was very, very difficult for him to breathe. In order to breathe, he had to pull himself up by his hands, push himself up by his feet in order to draw enough breath into his lungs. And it was calculated by the Romans to be a very long and a very painful and a very drawn out death. And Jesus Christ was subjected to that for 6 hours on the cross. But he also experienced on the cross great mental pain and suffering. And that's because of what the cross and the death of the cross meant. You see that in Galatians chapter 3. Galatia 3, verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. Galatians 3:13 speaks to us about the accursed death of the cross, so that we can know that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was not just a physical suffering that he endured, but it was the mental and the spiritual anguish also that he suffered during his time on the cross. Galatians 3, verse 13. Tinubos teo ni Christo mulasa sumpa nang kautusan nang shai nanging sumpa parasa tin sabakat nasusala sumpai ang bawat bini pitai sa punong kahoy. Cursed is anyone who hangs on the tree. Cursed is anyone who is crucified on a cross. Cursed because the curse of God rested upon such a person. And the Romans reserved this form of death for the scum of society, for the very worst criminals, the outcasts of the human race. The person was made a public spectacle, and the curse of God himself hung over the cross, because when someone was hanging on the cross, where was he? Where was he? He was not on earth anymore. He was suspended up off the earth. But he was not in heaven either. He was suspended between heaven and earth. And God's word to anyone on a cross who was suspended between heaven and earth was, you may not be on the earth, and you may not be in heaven either. There's only one place left. Hell. That's what the curse of the cross meant to one who was crucified on the cross. A very shameful way for the Lord Jesus Christ to die. So he experienced suffering also mentally, spiritually, within. Great suffering. And it ought to be very clear to us that no one has ever suffered like Jesus Christ suffered. That's what his earthly life was like. Nadira, Nadira, Nadira. Shei-ai-nadira. Nothing more, nothing less. And that brings us to our second point. What made his suffering severe? Ang nagpatindi nito. What made it severe was not the physical suffering. It was not severe because he was rejected by men. It was not severe because his closest friends forsook him. It was not severe because of the pain of dying on the cross. But that which made it severe for the Lord Jesus Christ was the wrath of Almighty God that he experienced against our sin, and that was placed on him during his whole earthly life, so that he felt the wrath of God with his body, and he felt the wrath of God in his soul. That's what made it severe. Itoi matindi dahilsa dibinon aspectol to the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't the human aspect, but it was the divine aspect. It was not the earthly dimension, but it was the heavenly dimension to his suffering. It was not the physical and the external suffering that he endured, but the spiritual and the internal suffering that made it so severe. Severe, why? Because all this suffering came from heaven. God sent it on his Son. God heaped it on his Son. Even all the suffering that he experienced at the hands of men, rejected by the church, rejected by the members of the church, rejected by society, condemned by the rulers of the world, all men mocking him while he hung on the cross, it all really came from Ankamei Namjos. That's what made his suffering severe. Severe dahil sa ginagawa sa kanya Namjos. And what was God doing? God was punishing him for sin. Parasa Kasalana. God placed on the Lord Jesus Christ all the sins of all God's people. And God placed on the Lord Jesus Christ all the punishment for the sins of all the people of God. The scriptures in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 tell us that he was made sin for us who knew no sin. God made his Son sin. God loaded his Son
with so much sin that what God would say about his son is, this man is sin. Anyakasalana. Not his own sins, but the sins of all the people of God that have been chosen by God and were to be redeemed and saved by his son. And therefore, a multitude of sin. The sins of all the elect of God. The sins of all God's people from Adam unto the very end of time. And every one of those having committed a multitude of sins, now all their sins placed on the Son of God, and all the punishment for their sins placed on the Son of God. That's why his suffering was Mahira na Mahira. That's why his life was such a terrible life. That's why his life was like no one else's life ever has been or ever will be. Because he was suffering God's wrath for the sins of the people of God. All of that on his son Tal. And on one man who was himself without sin. Sinless, pure, holy, banal. He didn't deserve any of these sins or any of the punishments for these sins. That made his suffering severe. But secondly, we may say his suffering was severe because of who it was that was punishing him. Who was punishing him? Sino? We could say angels. But really we must understand, in answer to the question, who was punishing him, this. His father. His father. We know a little bit from experience what that would mean for him. If you have ever been hurt by someone, then being hurt by someone is more severe if the person who has hurt you, the person who has been nasty, the person who has ignored you, the person who has sinned against you, is someone that you love and someone that loves you. That makes it hurt. That makes it severe. If it's your husband or if it's your wife that sins against you, that hurts. If it is your parent, your father or your mother, angama or angina, that pushes you away from them and says, get away from me, that hurts. If a stranger says that, or if someone who hates you says that, then you say, so what? So what? At least in comparison. So what? But when it's someone who is close to you, someone you love, then it is severe. Well, that was the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ang kanyang ama was the one who was punishing him. Eternally he had lived in the bosom of the Father as God's only begotten Son. There was no one who knew and loved the Father like the Son. And there was no one who knew and loved the Son like the Father did. No one was closer to him. And yet now Ankanyang Ama was the one who was punishing him. Ankanyang Ama was pushing him away. He could not now experience the favor of God, but instead the angry face of his Father. His father was wrathful. His father was withdrawn. His father was distant from him. His father made him suffer. And that made the suffering of Christ unbelievably severe for him. Not even the wicked in hell, you understand, experienced that. Because the wicked in hell, even though they will experience the full weight of God's wrath, they only experience that for their own sins. Christ was experiencing it for the multitude of the elect. But secondly, the wicked in hell do not receive that punishment from someone who is their father and who loves them. But Christ did. And that made his suffering all the more difficult and severe. And so terrible was it for him that he cries out from the cross, Matthew 27:46, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Not "my Father." At that time, in the midst of the suffering that the Son of God was experiencing during the 3 hours of darkness on the cross, he could not have a sense that God was his Father. And therefore, it was, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And in the words of Psalm 22, "Why art thou so far from me?" Maleo from his own Son. Very severe suffering. And then severe because it was constant. There was no let up. Sometimes in our suffering we say, "Well, I can bear it because there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's some hope that tomorrow might be a better day than today." That was not true for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was, as Isaiah 53 says, "The wrath and the anger and the curse of God was on him all his life." Can anyone's suffering compare to the suffering of the Son of God? No one. No one. But thirdly, we look at Nagawa Nito, what the suffering of Christ accomplished. What it accomplished. Because you realize the suffering of Christ was not without purpose. No suffering is, of course. Even your suffering and my suffering always has a purpose. God has a purpose when he sends suffering into our lives. It's always a good purpose for us too. And God had a good purpose when he made his Son suffer during all his earthly life and on the cross. Tapos nang paghihirap ni Kristo ang kaligtasan para sa atin. And that's because he atoned. Naghirap siya para sa ating dako. He did not have to suffer for himself. He did not have to suffer for his own sins because he was sinless. But he satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf. He made the payment that frees us from the wrath of God. And because he did that, because he went to hell, because he bore the wrath of God that is eternal, because he, during the 3 hours of darkness, had God forsake him and make him endure the full fury of God's wrath against sin, you and I do not have to suffer the wrath of God. We do not have to get what we deserve. Hindi na natin kailangan pagdusahan ang poot ng Diyos. That's mentioned in Isaiah 53. You saw that in the chapter that we read. What did he do? Verses 4 and 5. He carried our sorrows and he suffered our griefs. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And verse 5, we have peace. We have healing. With his stripes we are healed. Spiritually healed. And verses 10 and 11, his soul made an offering for sins. And he justified many. Because what did he do? He carried our iniquities. carried our iniquities and carried our sins all the way down into the very depths of hell and got rid of them there by enduring the anguish, the soul-wrenching suffering on the cross at the hands of God his Father. That's why we have freedom and liberty and life and joy and peace. And that's brought out in this Lord's Day 2 and Lord's Day 15, contrasting what we deserve with what we actually receive. What do we deserve? We deserve our bodies and our souls to go to everlasting damnation. What do we receive instead? Walang hanggang buhay. Eternal life. What do we deserve? We deserve severe judgment of God. What do we receive instead? God's favor. God looks at us and God says, I love you. I delight in you, my people. Because Christ removed the curse and Christ removed the wrath of Almighty God. And so as we read beautifully and in a very moving way in the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper, he was bound that we might be freed from our sins. He suffered innumerable reproaches so that we might never be confounded. He was condemned to death so that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He was cursed so that we might be filled with blessing. He was forsaken of God so that we might be accepted of God and never forsaken by Him. Great blessings to us as fruit of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, that work of Christ, that suffering of Christ, produces another fruit. Ang gawa ni Kristo ay nagbubunga sa mga buhay niyong kanyang mga iniligtas. What is that fruit in us? Three things. We are humbled by the suffering of Christ. We are comforted by the suffering of Christ. And we are thankful for the suffering of Christ. Very humbling. Tayo ay napagpapakumbaba. Very humbling because think of the fact he suffered not for anything that he himself had done. Why was he on the cross? Why was God's wrath poured out on him? Because of our sin. Because I sinned against God. Because you sinned against God. Because you and I sinned in Adam. Because you and I sinned in our youth. Because you and I sinned already this morning. This morning. That's why he was on the cross and that's why his suffering was severe. And then we are humble in our humility. We say, who am I that he should have suffered and suffered so terribly for me? For me. Who am I that God would punish his own beloved son instead of punishing me for what I deserve on account of my sin against God? That's humbling. Humbling to think that God has chosen me and punished his own son instead of punishing me. But we're also comforted by the sufferings of Christ because now we know that all our sin and all our punishment is gone. God is not punishing us ever. God does not hate us. But God loves us in Christ Jesus his Son. And because of Christ's atoning death on the cross, what is God's attitude toward us? It is always favor. Favorable attitude of the God who loves us in Jesus Christ his Son. No matter what God sends in your life, God loves you.
God's favor rests upon you. You are righteous in His Son. You have eternal life. You have nothing to fear because Christ has removed the wrath of God against you for your sin. And then, Teo a Nagpapa Kasalama. Thankful. Thankful for Christ. Thankful for God's gift. Thankful for all the salvation's blessings that we have because He laid down His life for us. May we always be thankful and praise God for the gift of His Son. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we are thankful to Thee for Thy Word, not only, but also for the truth that is declared to us in the Scriptures, the Gospel, the good news of salvation, the blessings of Thy grace, the salvation that we have through Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us in the knowledge and in the experience of these riches of Thy grace, and keep us, we pray, in Thy gracious care. In Jesus' name, Amen.